You got the touch. You got the power.
Huh? All right. Freaking record button. Chris, let me know. Tell me. What's one of your favorite sequels or a spinoff that was actually better than the original?
Batman. With the Joker.
With the Joker.
That's that amped up the game for me right there.
Yeah, that's legendary. I think that's going to be legendary, man.
Of course, there's a performance of, like...
I can't think of another...
The century. I can't comic think of a, book performance.
Yeah, I can't think of another comic book movie that beats that one movie. I'm sure people would disagree. I just can't think about it. Anyway, I would go with Rocky IV. I think Rocky IV was better than Rocky I. I think Rocky III was better than Rocky I. It's just, you know, they got better. The soundtracks got better. The stories got better. They became, you know, Rocky I was a serious movie. Like, you didn't, you know, it was serious. As they got more and more, they became more fun. They became almost more niche.
Come on, man. Apollo died. That's not serious enough for you.
Yeah, I know. But when you have, you know, if he dies, he dies. You know, and then it starts becoming more like, uh-oh. Here we go. Russia versus the U.S. It becomes niche. But he died. Listen, I was sad. How you kill off a main character?
His life. How dare you?
Well, one of the interesting things is that we're not here to talk about our favorite sequels or favorite spinoffs. We're actually here to talk about the ones we hated the most. Which ones were they, Chris? The worst. And this is either movies or TV shows, or I don't know if cartoons had any. And I'm not talking about like cartoons like Toy Story. I'm talking about cartoons like we grew up with for their spinoffs. I don't remember there being spinoffs.
Sitcoms.
Or, yeah. Just sitcoms, spinoffs, TV shows, anything, dramas, whatever. So I'm going to start. You know what? This isn't particularly a list that we're versing each other or we're trying to come up with a top five for him or top five for myself. We decided to put our heads collectively on this one. And just
because there's actually not enough to list, actually. believe it or not, right?
There's about, if you really want to delve into this,
the spinoff is kind of a rare thing.
There was about 16, and there was maybe about six major ones.
That's like in television history, though.
Well, I'm talking about in television history. Yeah,
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's not that common.
When you put movies, though, I mean, movies are unfair. Everything has a part two. Yeah.
Like, we could say top five movies because there's 5 billion movies.
Yeah, and we could say it, and no one could say because it's our opinion, and our opinion is always right. So,
yeah. That's the best thing you ever said.
So,
that's the first time I think your opinion is right.
As opposed to all the other times?
Yes, actually.
Well, my opinion is right? Okay.
No, you're not getting it.
All right, so Chris, throw one out there. Why would be a sequel or spin-off that shouldn't have happened?
Let's see. See, there's like a lot of bad ones, so it's actually kind of tough. But let's see.
You don't gotta list them. You don't have to put number one or four or five. Just throw one that comes off the top of your head out there.
Okay. I think.
He doesn't understand top of your head.
Huh? Wah wah.
Think about it. Think long and hard. Don't worry, Chris.
Okay, I'm probably gonna get hate for this one, but I really think I really didn't like Star Trek Voyager.
The spinoffs,
yeah,
the third.
That's a spinoff of
Deep Space.
Of no of Next Generation, right? Or
so I don't know. Which one was Deep Space? Wasn't it?
Deep Space Nine was the space station.
Was the space station to Deep Space.
Yeah, in Deep Space. And then Voyager was the one where they got lost in, like, the 15th galaxy from ours.
Was that the one that the entrants have freestyle music in the beginning? Like, it was like, and then you were lost, and I couldn't remember.
Oh, no, no. No, no. Oh, that one's worse. That's Enterprise. I hated that. That was
Quantum
Leap, man. The top worst theme song ever.
It's a space show, and it started off like Family Ties.
I mean, why didn't you hire Michael Bolton to sing your song?
And you're in space!
Man, well, at least then it might have been funny. Because he's a funny dude, apparently.
With laser beams and shirts.
Okay, you know, so I put aside Voyager.
For Enterprise?
For Enterprise.
I mean, you forget Enterprise. It was the stupidest. It was so stupid.
And you know me, I like Star Trek.
It was Saturday Night Live of Star Trek.
I spent $10 on a stupid doll just to piss off Star Wars fans in the last few episodes. So you know
you love your Star Trek, man.
Yes. But that has to be, and this is going to spin off of this top five list, another top five list, top worst theme songs, but that'll be another time.
Yeah, that'll be another one.
So we spun off of the spinoff, so it's amazing. There you go. But yeah, that one.
So can we safe to say that might be the worst compared? It's the top five theme songs compared to the show that it presented.
Meaning what?
Like that song shouldn't have been to that show.
It shouldn't be to any show, yeah.
I mean, it could be for, you know, a daytime show about cats and a detective or something. You know what I'm saying?
No, even then, because that sounds like it might be cool. A detective show with cats? That's great.
Wasn't that Murder, She Wrote?
Are you trying to say that the old lady was an animal?
No, I don't know what I'm... I thought she had cats with her that she talked to when nobody was around.
See, guys, we go off the cuff even when it makes no sense.
Yeah. All right, so I'll go with Mortal Kombat 2.
Okay. So, because I know we both agreed we were a fan of the first one.
The first one was, I liked the first one. It was what it was. It was great. The thing was that people might say, well, the first one sucked, so it shouldn't be no surprise. The second one sucked. No, they're all wrong. The first one did not suck. The first one was good. And the second one, I thought, is because they took everything that was decent and cool and should have made that made the first one awesome and decided not to put it in the second one. And that's the problem I had. Everything
from did it have the same music?
From the effects, no. To the graphics, to the characters, to the setting, how they portray every fight happened almost like if it was in a video game on board, in the woods, on the beach, in a temple, in the dark alley. Everything about part one was awesome. But part two was Christopher Lambert still playing Raiden. Christopher Lambert. They take him out of his Raiden costume and they put him in these peasant clothes and they have the whole movie almost based around sort of kind of what he's doing. And he's kind of leading these group of fighters to the temple and it felt like the whole movie took place in the desert. I think Mortal Kombat 2 was really awful, and it kind of spoke in the terms of when Mortal Kombat the game first came out. It was awesome because it was really the first video game to kind of introduce us to that type of blood, and you know, I always hated it because, you know, you need 13 different control inputs to pull off a 3-second fatality or fatality or animality, and you know, I didn't like the DC versus Mortal Kombat. Even though the configurations got a little bit better, but for some reason I like Injustice, and Injustice uses the Mortal Kombat engine, and I kind of like Injustice. So, but anyway, I digress. Mortal Kombat 2, I felt was all they had to do was keep going from part one, and they didn't. And all the charm and all the awesomeness of part one was completely lost in Christopher Lambert as Raiden. I mean, I couldn't get over it the first one, but I dealt with it because at least he was wearing the costume and his eyes were glowing with electricity and stuff. And now you had him walking around in like peasant clothes, and it was if this was the explicit show, it would be bad.
So you're trying to say, but it was upsetting?
It was very upsetting.
Okay.
So That's just one of the ones that really upset me the most. I remember gathering around with some friends to see that. We were really hype about it. We got some Domino's pizza. We got a jug of ice cream, a six-pack of cold beverages, and we sat down, and it was the worst. I think we played Monopoly afterwards. We were so depressed. it was the worst.
That's a symptom of depression?
No, but we needed to find something fun to do. And I don't even think that cut it at the time, but anyway.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Actually, this is a weird spinoff, but what I really didn't like was actually, I guess you can count it as a spinoff, when they, off of Saturday Night Live, they made the Coneheads.
Oh.
That was a stupid movie.
They made a lot of stupid movies off Saturday Night Live. Superstar, Coneheads, Night at the Roxbury. But Coneheads was, it angered me. Coneheads was really bad.
Like, Earthling, Dark, what are you doing? Planet, Cloud Dog.
It was a bit forced, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Like, was there, like, I don't know, I wasn't, like, aware then. Was there a big Conehead craze when they came out?
When the Saturday Night Live skit came out of the Coneheads, it was amazing. You know, they were doing weird things with these aliens, and they were real provocative, and they were doing these sexual innuendos with aliens and having this dry humor that Dan Aykroyd brings. And Dan Aykroyd, I think he's a comedic genius. When he did the skit was cool. But what makes skits beautiful is that we could see them for 3 minutes. And all the comedic genius flows out of there in 3 minutes. And then we don't got to see it again for another 3 weeks. Until you make an hour and a half movie out of it. And the people from his planet come down and have weird... It was bad. It was bad, like Night at the Roxbury. Which I always loved Night at the Roxbury skit. And then they made a movie and it was horrible. Superstar. I mean, we can go on and on about the movies that were made from Saturday Night Live. But Coneheads was atrocious, man. I can't watch skit made movies
anymore. I always seem to break on like sore points with you that make you go on
rants. Because I actually wanted to see that movie. I remember watching Saturday Night Live as a kid with my dad, and the Coneheads and the Buckwheat skits were some of his favorite, and he got me to like those skits a lot. And it was kind of something I carried on. It was always, I guess, I don't know if it was funny because it was my dad or because as I got older I found them more funnier. But then they made a movie. And then after they make the movie, they try to come back with a skit. It's not worth talking about anymore. That was bad business. Another
and really horrible makeup and effects.
Yeah. You can almost see the crease in Dan Aykroyd's head. Another one that I didn't like at all was Three's a Crowd.
Ooh, okay.
And, you know, that... It lasted one season.
Wasn't that just without what's-his-face?
It was just Jack with his he married the woman and he moved out. There was no more Jack. There was no more Cindy or Chrissy. There was no more Terry. There was no more.
Wait, you just said it was Jack left?
Jack moved out. He finally got married.
So who was left?
Jack.
You just said he moved out.
Yeah, that was the show. Him. He moved out from Janet and Cindy. He moved away from them. Moved with his wife. And now there was no more Cindy, Janet, Terry, or Chrissy, or Roper, or Furley, or there was no more Larry Dallas.
Not everyone.
No, the show had nothing to do with them. They never even visited. The show is about he's a chef. He owns his restaurant, and he has his wife. And now her father, the overly suspicious, you know, they try to make him the Roper where he didn't trust anybody, but they try to make him the Mr. Furley where every time he turned a corner, you know, Jack would be saying something like, all right, we're going to put it in. We're going to make sure it's soft, and we don't want it too hard. Okay, that's right. Make sure it's good. And now I'm going to leave it in there, and I'm going to turn it over. And when I pull it out, you taste it. And our father would be going crazy, and then he opens the kitchen, and Jack's showing her how to make a ham. You know, that was the beauty of Mr. Furley, that Mr. Furley got caught up in one of those every second episode. And as a kid, and you hear Jack going, you know, there you go. Ain't it smooth? touch it. That's how it's supposed to touch it. Stroke it. And Mr. Furley starts having a conniption in the living room, and you're like, what's going on? And the beauty of Three's Company was lost. And with Three's a Crowd, because the father wasn't funny. The wife was stale, cookie cutter blonde that did nothing for me. His restaurant was dull and boring, and I was one of the biggest Three's Company fans in the world, and I've seen every episode of Three's Company. And when Three's a Crowd came out, I was sad, because the way it ended Three's Company, when he finally got married, I thought that should have been the end of the series. I thought that was an amazing series. Mr. Furley saw this whole time that he wasn't gay, and was actually the best man for Jack at his wedding. And I thought that was amazing.
So you want to pretend it never happened?
I can't. I saw it. So it just...
Block it out.
It is what it is.
All right, so my next one, memorable or unmemorable spinoff, The Golden Palace from The Golden Girls. Now, Golden Girls was a great show. I thought it was a good show. I used to come down every morning, and my mother would be watching that show, and I'd sit and watch it, you know, with my mom, because she loved that show, you know, too. So eventually the show ended, and it was... B. Arthur's character, Dorothy, married Blanche's uncle. So she went off. So you took away the main character right there. So the rest of them decided to open up a hotel.
So these two... So it was left... It was the Texas woman and the old woman.
It was Blanche, Blanche, Rose, was the southern and one, Sophia... Right? They purchased a hotel for some reason, and so it's kind of like a Fawlty Towers ripoff, you know, where they're crazy people running a hotel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, so I have a hard time getting over A is no B. Arthur, because she was like kind of like the glue. She wasn't like
that. Was the older one, right? Not the older one. That was the tall one.
The tall, the big one. Yeah, the big one. Yeah. And not that she was like the star, oh my god, we need B. Arthur.
Yeah.
But she was like the glue that held all these nuts, crazy old people together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but then you take her away, and then I can't get, then B, they bought a hotel.
You can't get over the
hotel. No, I can't get over a hotel.
If they would have had it, if one somebody had died and left it to them, would you have been okay with that? And now they had to try to figure out how to run it?
At least that would have been like... something, but even then, they're old people and they want to seek a new venture in life. They're all like 80.
So old people in your book shouldn't be exploring anymore or going on adventures.
I mean, I'm saying, if you have to open a hotel to make money, how do you have money to open a hotel? I'm just saying, and you know, I love the characters. You know, I love everyone loved Rose. You know what I mean? And
who was the southern one, the real hard Texas one?
Blanche. She was like the southern chick.
Okay. Blanche was funny. She was dense. She was my favorite one.
No, Blanche was the sex pot.
Yeah, the real hard Texas. Well, sugar.
Yeah, she was like the hoe and. Yeah. Not the hoe, because I guess at that age, it's,
you know, way past that. I mean, are you really at that certain part? They've reached an amount of numbers that would be okay for the years they've been alive.
So yeah, true.
They're not hoes at that point.
Yeah,
they've experienced.
And you know, Rose was the dumb one. At any rate, she was like the. So they had the characters, which was fine. It didn't work. You know what I mean?
And Betty White was ever on that show, right? I always got this feeling that Betty White was on the show.
Yeah, she was on the spinoff.
Oh, Betty... Oh, the spinoff.
They... What do you mean? In The Golden Girls? Yeah. She was like one of them... She's one of the Golden Girls.
Oh, she was one of the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
I've never seen Golden
Girls. She was Rose. I've never seen Golden Girls?
I've seen episode here and there.
You would love that, because I'm sure you have the same attitude as these old people. So I think you really need to watch Golden Girls.
I know the song. Thank you for being a friend. Love the song. I know the character because people, I hear people talking about them.
Tell Eddie Z how he needs to watch Golden Girls more than Breaking Bad.
I just always saw a sitcom with four old women. I'm like, they can't possibly be nothing of interest here. But it is, obviously, because people love it. And I know it's funny now. I've seen a few episodes. But I haven't seen a few episodes to know who's who, you know? That's the time I haven't said anything through your whole thing about Golden Palace. I'm like, okay, sounds amazing. I wish I would have came up with that, old people running a hotel.
Why? Why?
How about if the show would have just started off with old people running a hotel?
You mean like without
Golden Girls? It just started with all four of them running a hotel. Would it have worked, you think? If you had the author and the original
cast. They inherit it?
It just starts off with them in a hotel.
Did they inherit it?
Who cares?
I care.
How about it was one of the women, it was her husband's. Her husband passes away, and she brings in all her friends to run the hotel.
Great.
Great sitcom. Mm-hmm. But then that would be
Sex in the City. B. Arthur.
That would be Sex in the City almost. Well, that's what the Golden Girls are, was Sex in the City.
Yeah, actually, that's the thing they call Golden Girls, Sex in the City for old people.
Yeah, for old people, right?
Yeah. Okay. But then you're just saying the same thing as Golden Girls because you have all the same characters. You're just adding a hotel. Okay, fine. But under the circumstances, no. I put my foot down. So
did you watch Little House on the Prairie, Chris?
No, I couldn't get it. That's another House theme. On the Prairie, that's another
guy. I don't know why. Maybe Michael Landon. Not because
is it because there's white people in there? Is that why you're saying that?
Everything has white people. I can say that about anything. I'm saying Michael Landon. You come off as a Michael Landon type guy. You like a Michael Landon?
No, I couldn't get... That's another thing. I couldn't get past the theme song.
What was the theme?
A Little House on the Prairie.
What was the theme song? I'll put it up.
Oh, please don't.
As you speak. It's going, like it's going up right now.
Oh, come on. That's what I get for opening my mouth. That's what I get for talking to you. Anyway, what's yours?
All right, so how about... How about I go and I say Booker? And
what's that?
Booker was a show that lasted 1 year. And it was with, what's the Greco kid? Richard Greco from 21 Jump Street.
Greco kid, Richard Greco.
Yeah, Richard Greco. And, you know, I never thought Richard Greco was the big star in 21 Jump Street. You know, I always liked the Johnny Depp with the fat kid. They were always my favorite pair. I mean, Greco was maybe the hunk back then. But after 21 Jump Street ended, they made a spinoff called Booker with Richard Greco, where he wasn't a cop no more, but he was kind of like a security for hire guy. Like, he was like a private cop, a private investigator that a Japanese firm hired to investigate corruption within their company. And that was the whole series, like the whole season was him trying to figure out who is the people corrupt in their company. And it lasted from about September to May. There was about maybe, if I'm right, 16 episodes or 15 episodes, but it was just a Richard Greco in like this private investigator.
So it was
type.
Richard Greco's funny. Character in an uninteresting part of his resume.
Yeah, probably.
From 1985 to 1990, worked as a security guard.
Yeah, pretty much.
End of sentence. And they made a show out of it.
And it wasn't funny. It wasn't charming. It didn't have his personality or wit involved. It almost felt like, remember The Crow, the TV show? Where The Crow was all of a sudden helping out the detective find killers.
Yeah.
Along as a detective, then helped him again find the people who killed his family.
Yeah,
it was. I can't get into a crow walking around in daytime. That always bothers me. It's like Batman in the daytime. You don't see Batman in the daytime.
Well, that's how they used to draw Batman though, in the daytime.
Yeah, in the daytime, in the rooftop. It's the sunny. Rooftops, yeah. He's running on the front lawn.
Yeah.
But
that's when he wasn't so intimidating.
Yeah, and I got into Booker only because I got into 21 Jump Street late, like in the last two seasons. And then I was like, oh my God, you know, they're making a... And I thought, wow, they're going to make a show about Booker, then they got to be making a show about Johnny Depp and the fat guy.
They should have named it that. Johnny Depp and the fat guy.
And, you know, I only knew Johnny Depp back then from Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, he was the guy in Nightmare on Elm Street. But I always liked them best, you know, in 21 Jump Street. And I always thought they would have been a good situation, a sitcom just without those two. But that was definitely a raw one. So, Yeah, anymore? You think are worth talking about as being ultimately bad? You want to give honorable mentions to some? You want to just stop it before we just blow our lid?
I can name... before we turn over something. Okay, I can... Let's just for the positive... In a positive light...
All right, we're going to do positive. We can do positive. We're talking about worst.
No, I'm saying... Okay. There are... It's rare, but there's a few good spin-offs.
But this is about bad ones, Chris.
I know, but I want to give people hope.
You want to give people hope? Go for it.
Frasier, spinoff of Frasier Cheers. Frasier
good. Jeffersons. Archie Bunker. All in the Family.
Name the spinoff of Different Strokes.
Facts of Life.
Facts of Life. There you go. Although, is that a good one?
Facts of Life was good.
Yeah?
Facts of Life, come on, man. It was good.
There's a couple of spinoffs of Different Strokes, right?
Different Strokes. I don't know too many. I know it was just Facts of Life. I know All in the Family had Maude. Was Maude a spinoff of All in the Family? Maude was a spinoff of somewhere. I can't remember where. And, you know, but it wasn't a great show anyway. But Mork and Mindy, I think, was a spinoff of Laverne and Shirley, right?
Mork and Mindy, there was a spinoff of Happy Days.
Oh, Happy Days, yeah. Mork and Mindy was a spinoff of Happy Days. There you go.
So, did that lighten it a bit? Are you less angry?
Yeah. But here comes honorable mentions for horrible.
Oh, I ruined it.
Spinoffs.
I should have saved it then.
No, okay. You know what? I'm not even going to mention them. But you know what? Okay. Joey, which was a spinoff of Friends, which is horrible. It lasted about 8 episodes. The Fly Part 2.
Fly Part 2.
I'm sorry, you can't have a fly without, you know, that guy.
Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah, him. That guy. Batman Forever? I'm sorry. Can't do it. Hey, Batman! Chill! Can't do it. Leprechaun in the Hood?
What?
Leprechaun in the Hood, which is Leprechaun Part 2.
Were any of those movies good, though?
Leprechaun was like those classic horror movies that we saw back then, like Candyman, you know what I'm saying? Think about all those niche horrors that came out where I had the funny looking demon guy or the funny creature in the closet or something like that. When Leprechaun first came out, it was kind of scary. It was a leprechaun supposed to bring you good luck, but he kills you. So first Leprechaun was scary. It kind of reminded me of Dolls. Puppet Master. The movie Puppet Master, where the first one was scary. But it came out with Leprechaun in the Hood. And now he went to the hood. And he was, like, riding motorcycles. He was wearing gold chains. He was breakdancing and stuff.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, for real?
No, and Staying Alive, which was a sequel to Saturday Night Fever. And I felt like it was just another movie that they could make to make John Travolta wear even more tighter and less clothes. And it didn't really have a point to it. And I sat through it because I really like Saturday Night Fever. So those are just some honorable mentions.
Oh, okay. But here's one. The spinoff of Who's the Boss? Living Dolls.
Living Dolls.
And then I actually had Leah Remy. So I was like,
I guess. That's where she started, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that.
And Living Dolls was the boss, pretty much. The woman.
Yeah, it was her and in her job, basically.
Yeah, that was dumb.
You know, when she's not with Tony, apparently.
Yeah, that was dumb. What makes people think they could come up with a spinoff of the third character? Because it was Tony Danza, then it was the girl, the one we all loved growing up.
Oh, man.
We come off the top of our head after a few beverages. We can't even think about this stuff.
Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, man, I got some bad... Two more bad ones, and I hope you don't like...
So you're feeding into...
Yeah, I'm feeding your rage. I'm feeding your rage, and I apologize, but I can't. Did you know there was a spinoff of X-Files?
No.
Called The Lone Gunman.
For real?
And it was with those geeks that helped them out once in a while.
Nah, I did not know that,
The fellow geeks.
Did they make any? Did they make any conspiracy? On Fringe?
No, that would have been bad. No, it was they were like conspiracy theorists, yeah. And they for some reason they got mixed up with the X-Files, and then X-Files ended. They made a spinoff with these guys.
Who I never knew that.
Just looked for weird. I never shit, saw Lone Gunman weird stuff ever. To happen.
Ever.
Yeah, and then Baywatch Nights.
Baywatch Nights. That I knew was Baywatch Nights. He was manning the beach at nights, looking. He was like an investigator. There was mysterious stuff going on the beach, and he wore a suit. And
I want to know at the end of that show how many beach balls he recovered, how many condoms he found in,
how many conches he collected.
Or, yeah, how many used condoms he found.
All right, we're gonna stop fueling this rage because my neck is actually hurting me.
Right now. Yeah, yeah. I won't mention any wrestling.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, not today.
All right.
So, I'm Eddie Z. This is my co-host, Chris Wizard. Who are you, Chris?
Chris Wizard?
There we go. He knows who he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed our show up to this point. Once again, thank everyone for your support. Like always, we're picking up a little steam at a time. Every week we're getting a little bit more fan participation on our Facebook page. We're getting a lot of fan participation on our Twitter account. You can find us at facebook.com/kitchen.sink.12 or at thekitchensink2 on Twitter. You can also send us your emails if you'd like us to talk about anything and everything. As you can see, we love to do at thekitchensink2014@gmail.com. If you like what you listen to here, but you also like to listen to wrestling, you can definitely check out the second best podcast on the web right now, the Work Shoot Podcast. Great, nice little wrestling podcast by Corey Richmond and Jason Brooks. If there's something else you want to listen to besides us and you got a little bit more time on your hands, check them out. They're real good. And if you're a wrestling fan, you're going to love what they say. If you're not a wrestling fan, don't bother because it's a wrestling podcast.
Well, if you're a wrestling fan, doesn't mean you'll love what they say.
Yeah, you might not love what they say because they have their own opinions just like we
do. But you'll have fun yelling at them.
But you'll agree with one more than the other, and that's a good sign of a good show when one is very agreeable and the other one's very disagreeable. So check them out. You might even hear
from time on the show as well as in real life.
And yeah, exactly. They're the same on the show than they are in real life. And you can even hear myself. At times on this show, I special guest star on this show from time to time.
And, you're special.
This Friday, they're actually going to have a show that was just dedicated to myself, Jason Brooks, and Corey Richmond, speaking about a few things they wanted to pick my brain about. So you could also check that out if you want to hear my voice a little bit more. So that's pretty good right there. We're going to go. We got some pretty cool stuff. We're going to try out some new things today with you guys. And right now we're going to go on a quick little break and we'll be right back.
Just stay away from me if you're contagious.
Cause I'm the winner.
No, I'm the loser. To be an AC is to let you to.
Ladies love me.
Girls adore me. I mean even the ones that never saw me.
Like the way that I rhyme at a show.
The reason why I'm mad, I don't know. Cause I'm now, it takes two to make a thing go round.
It takes two to make it
happen. Yeah, we have nothing to do in our lives.
That was fun.
But hurt your ears.
Alright, how's everybody doing? We came back on this small break. We hope you enjoyed that in some form, way, or another. So, we're going to do a little news, do a little notes, but I think Chris Wizard wants to give us something first.
I have a little segment. Don't look.
I'm not going to look.
We have a little segment.
What's it called, Chris?
It's called Weird Shit. All right. There's a job... this is a want ad in the job section in Japan. Ninja wanted for a part-time job. No experience necessary.
No experience necessary.
Yes, there's an actual job listing posted in Japan on a government-run site.
Are they trying to recruit ninjas
or assassinate ninjas? The ninja will be given black clothing and a book of secrets to teach from.
Doesn't the ninja have this already?
And the ideal candidate is someone who who likes both ninjas and children.
So it could just be kind of like a fanboy at Comic-Con. One of those weird 47-year-old guys walking around in Sailor Moon outfits.
You can go so many ways.
The 44-year-old guy.
But this is a government listing in Japan.
Playing Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
I dropped the mic. Bam. Done.
He needs to like ninjas and children.
Yes.
And he no experience needed. That's the part that bothers me. How is no experience needed if you're looking for ninjas?
He's going to be given black clothes and a book of secrets.
But Chris, you're asking for a ninja with no experience. Then that's just me and you.
Apparently, I guess. So let's go for it.
No, this is bad. This is bad. And I guess that's why they call it
weird shit. I think I did myself with that one.
That was driving it off, and the guy who used the forklift, and the shitting statues. We're topping it right there. So, I just want to give y'all guys some news and notes now. So, some news on the Ghostbusters 3 front. There's actually Dan Aykroyd finally okayed the making of Ghostbusters 3, which is supposed to start shooting towards the end of this summer. He's actually found the writer, and nobody knows the writer yet. He refuses to name the writer because Bill Murray is not on board with this project. They haven't contacted Ernie Hudson, and obviously with the late passing of Harold Ramis, Dan Aykroyd has already stated that he's ready to move forward with the project. Chris, what do you think about that?
Well, my question is with who, because without Bill Murray... And Harold Ramis is gone, God rest his soul. What are you going to do? I mean, I'm sure you can get Ernie Hudson. I'm pretty sure you can get Ernie
Hudson. He's doing TNT voiceover somewhere.
To his own death in that cowboy movie. At the exact moment he gets shot by Sharon Stone or whoever.
You know what? I was thinking about this. And how about if this is just one of those things where Dan Aykroyd, you know, over the last Ghostbusters, there's no more ghosts. They did their job. And for the last 8 to 10 years, there have been no more ghost sightings. So Bill Murray kind of went on his way. Harold Ramis passed away, and probably played that. Ernie Hudson is off somewhere in a psychiatric ward because he went crazy. Dan Aykroyd is the last guy in the firehouse by himself. And he gets a call. The phone rings right before he's about to shut down the lights. And the phone rings. Ring. And they go, we need your help. So he recruits three guys to be the new Ghostbusters. Would that be so horrible?
It depends on the casting.
I already see it. Throw Seth Rogen.
Oh, that would be the new Harold Ramis. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, no one's going to be Harold Ramis.
No, but you know what I mean. In that spot. That scientist spot. You know what I'm saying? you know, you got to get the straight shooter.
Well, he could be in Bill Murray's spot too, so the wise ass.
Yeah. So. You get the straight shooter and.
And
are we going to replace the black guy
James
with the black
Franco.
As the black guy?
No, just James Franco. I don't care.
As Bill Murray.
Somebody.
Bill Murray.
Just James Franco. As James Franco.
Just James Franco?
As James Franco.
But you know what they'll do then? They'll take Kevin Hart.
No. Ernie Hudson. James Franco as James Franco.
He calls James Franco. And James Franco always wanted to do
Ghostbusters. He decided to quit acting.
But this is like end of the world almost. You want to go that route?
Yeah. End of the world was great. I'll do it again. I'll do it again. It's fine. But Seth Rogen is not Seth Rogen.
Who is he?
Whoever.
He's Spangler's kid? I mean, Egon's kid?
That would be fun. That would be, yeah. That would be great.
We're creating a better Ghostbusters that we're actually going to get. You know,
we're going to be mad. You're going to go on
Seth Rogen to take Bill Murray. I mean, we want Seth Rogen to be the kid of Egon, but we want...
If we don't have zero listeners by next week after our song, you're going to be making an angry rant about how horrible Ghostbusters 3 was.
Yeah. I think we've actually just made a good Ghostbusters.
We did.
Right there, right?
We did.
As long as I don't use Kevin Hart and Ernie Hudson.
Is that because he's in everything right now? Is that because he's in everything and you're sick of him or you don't like him?
I don't think he would work. I think what worked for Ghostbusters was it had this charming type of dry humor. They had the nerd scientist. You had the nerd scientist. You had Bill Murray, who was like the playboy chauvinist. And then you had Dan Aykroyd, who was kind of the goofball, the kid inside. He was us. Yeah. You know, it was like if we became Ghostbusters. What's going on with the printer, Chris? Did you just fax over your application to be a ninja, bro?
I did it when you weren't looking. I faxed it over.
You don't even need a resume for that. You could have put a big circle and a sword.
I want that book of secrets.
They would have hit it.
And I don't have any black clothing.
So anyway, I think I don't like Kevin Hart because he doesn't kind of fit. Ernie Hudson was like, what are you talking about? He was that guy who made everything funny at the end. He never got the jokes. He was like, what? So, I don't know. I'm interested because if they use the same firehouse. Chris Rock. I can see that. Like bringing grown-ups and let them be the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
King of Queens, Chris Rock, Adam Sandler. Then you got Bill Murray, Ernie Hudson, Harold.
We don't need Adam Sandler.
We don't need Adam Sandler?
I don't think so.
Because then it becomes too cliche and goofy, right? Yeah. I think it would work. You know, obviously I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. But I want to see. As long as Dan Aykroyd has taken 2 years, 2 to 3 years to give this script to someone and let somebody write it. And that's because he doesn't want to water Ghostbusters down. So, obviously, he's going to have his hands on it. We got to trust him. I think that Dan Aykroyd
is... It's tough, though, without all the main dudes who don't want to do it.
I mean, it's been, what? It's been 20 years since the last Ghostbusters?
I don't know why Bill Murray... I mean, I guess he wants to be serious now, but give me a break.
He did Caddyshack. You'll never be serious, ever. He lost seriousness the day he stepped on the Saturday Night Live set. On some other notes, Fast and the Furious 7 will continue to be filmed starting April 7th with the surprising death of Paul Walker. It's actually given writer Chris Morgan and director James Wan a way to tastefully enact his departure from the show and actually made them decide to become a little darker in the movie. Where I said show, I meant the movie. Now, here's a spoiler. Because I just kind of found this out today. The antagonist, the bad guy of Fast and the Furious Part 7 is going to be Jason Statham. I think that's pretty cool. I've always liked the Fast and the Furious from Part 1. Too Fast, Too Furious, Tokyo Drift, The Fast and the Furious. Yeah, I like Tokyo Drift. I thought it was something new. It was kind of different. And I like the way they tied in Han with all the parts. It almost seemed like a prequel. But when you saw Part 2, Han left, and then he came back in Part 3, even though he died in Tokyo Drift. So it was real weird, but... I mean, it wasn't my favorite. It was probably the last of the Fast and the Furious I liked.
Yeah.
But it was one of the... I still liked it. It's not like, you know, when you see a bunch of movies and there's one that you really, really hate. You know, like everybody says they hate Rocky 5. You know, people say they hate Halloween 3, which I hated Halloween 3 with the mask that ate your head with bugs. That was stupid. But I don't think Fast and the Furious has had a a bad one yet. You're either a fan or you're not a fan. There's no, it's kind of good. You either like it or you don't.
I think it has its place.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole series has its place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a niche it's thing. Yeah, it's fun, it's fast, it's furious.
Look at our cool cars, you know. You can watch it for a few minutes and flip the channel.
But with the death of Paul Walker, it's given the writer a chance to kind of take Fast and Furious kind of like a dark path, making Dom a little bit more vicious. So that was pretty good. Those were our news and our notes so far. Here's a little calendar for you guys to pay attention to. We're going to definitely try to do this every month now. Give you guys a little info on some stuff that you might be interested in coming out on the video game front. Some new releases. As of March 18th, you'll be able to pick up Final Fantasy 14 2 on HD for the PS3.
Oh, that's your shizzle. Yeah. Your shizzle.
I stopped playing after 10.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Something about them I didn't like no more. They lost their cute charm. Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes will be coming out on March 18th for all the systems. Xbox One, PS4, PS3, and the 360. Ooh. On March 21st, Infamous Second Son will be releasing for PS4. And that right there is supposed to have been the game that, if you were buying your PS4, that's one of the reasons you were buying it. On March 25th, Blaze Blue Chrono Phantasma, which is a deep, deep RPG. If you are a diehard Japanese RPG fan, that's a game you want to look into. Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls. I personally never got into the Diablo series. I've never been a big PC gamer, though I play a lot of the PC games now.
I played the first or second one. It was like a top scroller, weird
dungeon sort of crawler type
thing.
Yeah. They actually used the engine for, remember the Marvel Ultimates, that you can be all the Marvel superheroes? Yeah. Not Lego, but the actual one.
Yeah.
They used the same engine. So that was pretty cool. And The Witch and The Hundred Knight is coming out for PS3. So, you know, guys, check that out if you're waiting for the video game front to drop. That should be good. And we'll be back. We have some little cool little things for you guys, and then we'll start wrapping it up.
Volga Sildroha, the traveler, has come. Choose and perish.
What do you mean, choose? We don't understand.
Choose. Choose the form of the destructor.
Oh, I get it. Oh, very cute. Whatever we think of, if we think of J. Edgar Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover will appear and destroy us, okay? So empty your heads. Empty your heads. Don't think of anything. We've only got one shot at this.
The choice is made.
Whoa!
The traveler has come.
Nobody choose anything. Did you choose anything?
No.
Did you?
My mind is totally blank.
I didn't choose anything. I couldn't help it. It just popped in there.
What just popped in there?
I tried to think.
Look!
No! It can't be.
What is it?
It can't be.
What did you do, Ray?
Oh, shit.
It's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Now it's time for Shit That I Hate. Shit That I Hate is when I'm waiting online at a store and I'm behind about 6 people, and then the next register opens up and the 3 people that just walked in get online and get their shit before me. And that is Shit That I Hate.
And now we have, or I have found, a word in the dictionary that I wish to share, because there's a lot of silly words out there, and I think I should share this one. Zadonk. I repeat, zadonk. And that word is, the meaning is, a cross between a donkey and a zebra, because, you know, they get together a lot.
Yeah, And for anybody who was thinking, where's the dunk? Oh, I know what that is. I saw this girl with one the other day.
No. It is a cross between a zebra and a donkey, because they meet a lot in Africa, apparently. You know where they meet? In speed dating. I hear...
Obviously never saw wazoos.
In relation to words, I hear you looking for phobias now.
Yes. And people, let me tell you. And I thought, you know, me and Chris Wizard, we like trying new things on the show, and we're really hoping you're enjoying this. And I thought a phobia, along with one of the words that he looked for, I looked for a phobia. And I decided to go through the thousands of phobias that people have that have been noted in the medical record books. So get ready for this. This is called geniophobia. Geniophobia. And this is real. Google it. Geniophobia. G-E-N-I-O phobia.
What is it?
The fear of chins.
No, it's not, Joe.
Yes, it is. Not. And I don't mean a certain part of Asia. Nigga, please. Where they all hang out.
Oh, come on.
I'm talking about chins. Someone has a fear of chins, and it's promoted in the medical dictionary as geniophobia. The fear of chins, people.
Oh my goodness. Are you for real?
I'm very for real. I'm not making this up. People are going to look this up. I need to be correct. That is real. Geniophobia. The fear of chins. Look it up.
That's amazing. I want to meet a person with
Do they have their own geniophobia? You know how horses wear those things so they don't look in left and the right?
Yeah.
These people got something right under their bottom lip so they never see their chin. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. What if they never look down?
How about if they never shave? Right? Because they gotta shave their chin. The minute they uncover the hair, they lose it. They lose their mind.
But are they afraid of the chin itself or the shape of the chin?
I don't know. It just says fear of chins. I thought that was enough content in itself. I didn't have to diverge into what type of chins they were scared of.
I kind of want to delve. But not on the podcast.
All right,
we're not that desperate.
You can look it up. It's true. We're going to try to give you some silly words and some ridiculous phobias. And yeah, they are ridiculous. I don't care. If you know somebody who has a fear of chins, throw some ice water on them.
You are not a psychologist.
But you can lay on the couch and pay me. Alright,
I'm not laying on your couch, son.
These past weeks over Facebook, I threw up something right there. We want to say thank you. I threw out something out there. Which Marvel character would you bring into the DC universe? And we had some interesting responses out there. Joseph Conklin, who joins us on our Facebook page, is a new member. He put something very interesting. He said Norman Osborn / Green Goblin.
Norman Osborn
and as the Green Goblin, and have him be a problem for Bruce Wayne on both fronts. Norman Osborn would give Bruce Wayne problems, and Green Goblin would give Batman problems. And I thought that was very creative. I would have never thought in a million years to put Green Goblin in DC. So thank you, Joseph Conklin. Also, Darnell Will. Williams said Deadpool, and have him go against Deathstroke on a killing spree. In the final issue, they have to fight it out because there's no one else to kill because they're tied up. I thought that was pretty cool. Also on Facebook, I asked people which Marvel or DC or any type of superhero female superhero was their favorite. And we got a couple of interesting ones. We got Samus Amis. Dorian Stark put a Samus Amis out there. Mike Castro put Wonder Woman and She-Hulk. Mitch L. Hennessy put Jean Grey and Star Sapphire. Myself, I've never really had famous or favorite female characters, but maybe over the last 2 years been Harley Quinn. And yes, there's a big theme, Batman, Joker with me. But Harley Quinn I thought was awesome, especially since she was made in the cartoons and put in the comic books after she appeared on the cartoons. And I always liked her backstory. Well, how about you, Chris?
My current favorite right now is Catwoman. And she in the new 52. She's my favorite. And the old one, not so... Like, the old DC universe, not so much. But This is Catwoman.
And Catwoman has always been Selina Kyle, right? Yeah. They never changed her or made her Chinese or black or something like that. Nobody else played Catwoman when she except was away and suffered scourging.
No. Pretty straightforward. Okay. She's pretty more straightforward than in the original. Originally, she had that origin from the movie.
Wait, threw her out the window and they brought her back to life?
Yeah, it was like that. But now that she just was... She was a prostitute who got basically inspired by Batman, seeing Batman in action to fight back. And she learned how to fight. And her signature was clawing people, you know, in the face. And she had an affinity for cats. And through that, she became Catwoman. You know, kind of like... She's just kind of a normal chick.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, I like
so that. Which one you liked better? Her learning how to fight and... wanting to do some good, I guess, because Catwoman still is edgy. She's still kind of mercenary.
Well, she's a thief. Her thing is now, you know, she's a thief, and she steals things for a living to earn money, and she never wants to answer to anyone again. So that's her thing. She's a thief, and she was like at first she's an enemy of Batman, but then of course Batman, you know, and her get together, and then he inspires her more to do more good. So. I think that's a more interesting storyline.
No, definitely is. You know what? Like I said, lately I've been getting more into DC than Marvel. I think I'm Marveled out for all the years just reading Marvel. And now I get a chance to go into a whole new section of comic books with DC. And all I've been really reading has been DC. So.
And the New 52, right?
Yeah, everything is New 52. Even Justice League, Superman, Earth 2, right? That's it, the new one, right? Earth 2.
It's just Earth 2.
It's just Earth 2. It's not Superman Earth 2. No, I would say Superman because he's been on the cover of a few of them.
That's a really great, really great book. It's like basically what How the World does without the big three.
Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, instead of... So basically, Apocalypse invades... They kind of, you know, they're constantly battling to survive. Earth is constantly in battles to survive. Yeah. So they have, like, their own, like, the whole Earth becomes, like, emerged, like, into one army just to fight, you know. So it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend that.
Cool. Well, what else do you recommend? Because I know you was excited to kind of recommend something. You wanted to recommend a new read this week.
Oh, yeah, I can recommend a lot of things, but you want me to pick one thing?
Yeah, sure. I don't know where this is going.
He's giving me a weird look, and I really meant it straightforward that I have a lot of things to recommend, but he gave me...
And then you went...
No, I did not go... Oh, man. Come on. It's always dirty with you. Anyway, I'm actually going to... I don't know if people know about this, but for those people who...
We have smart fans, Chris. We're not like some other podcasts out there who have sheep.
Oh, no, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of not, like, just not knowing, you know, people. For those of you who want to get back into comics but don't want to don't have room to store them, like me, I actually, and we're not endorsed or anything, I just really like this website, Comixology. It's with comics with an X, ology. Really great site. If you have a tablet, you can download comics to a tablet and read them. You know, and they're like cheaper than actually buying a paper comic book.
Especially on Mondays and Thursdays when they give 99-cent sales.
Yep.
So it's awesome.
Yeah, Mondays is like Marvel Fridays or something. Marvel Mondays. And then Friday is like random. I think, or Thursday.
Yeah. Something like that. And then the weekend you have like, they'll sell books. Yeah. Like cold graphic novels for $7.99 instead of $19.99. Yeah.
Now, I recommended this to Eddie Z, and he's currently broke and living in a box. So be careful.
I'm not broke.
But you're living in a box?
Yes. How else am I going to read these comics from Comixology? You should have some source of income if you're going to go to this site.
Yes, definitely. It's very easy to spend your load.
Yeah.
On that. So, spend your whole paycheck.
So that was this show. Chris, you have fun? I have fun like always.
Yes. Of course. Especially when we broke into song.
Definitely. That was my favorite part.
Remember, guys, get a pet Zadonk.
Yeah, Zadonk. And don't have geniophobia, please. Don't have geniophobia. It's bad. You won't be able to shave or go to China. What?
No. I think you misunderstood me.
I don't know. It didn't express what chins they were talking about. So, this is the kitchen sink. Next week, we will dedicate our whole show, and that will be our 10th show, people. Our 10th show, and we're really excited about that. When we started this out, we go by 10s. We go, let's see how the first 10 go. Let's see how the next 10 go. Next week, our whole show will be dedicated to video games. Chris just got the Ouya not too long ago. He's going to be sharing his thoughts and his excitement about that. I just picked up my Xbox One with the Titanfall bundle. I'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about some retro gaming. Next week should be a lot of fun. Let us know on Facebook what some of your favorite retro games. You don't got to do it in order because we did that already. But really think about a really retro game that if I can tell you, you can have it right now. You don't even have to play it. You just kind of want it in your dresser or in that junk drawer that everybody has in their kitchen.
In the junk drawer.
So I'm Eddie Z. This is Chris Wizard. And for episode 9, we want to tell everybody out there, stay safe, have fun, and most of all, stay passionate.
And any depiction of events in real life are not related to the show.